You're listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Now, here's Steve Barfield on WGAA, 1340 AM, the Big Double A.
Hello, my friends. Hope you're having a good afternoon. And as always, if you're out there driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. And if you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. Now, the Financial Framework Show will be a 30-minute weekly broadcast every Wednesday at 3 p.m., and soon it will change to an hour format with live call-in questions. If you have any questions before then, send me an email at Steve@financialframeworkshow.com. That's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at financialframeworkshow.com, and I will answer them for you. Now, we will read some of the questions on the air so that the other listeners can benefit from the information. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. In fact, the only dumb question is the one that's not asked. We have a lot of questions that were emailed to us from the show last week, and I'm not sure how many that we'll have time to answer today. So if I don't get to your questions live on the radio, I will respond to you by email. Now let's get started with this one. It's from Ken in Mobile, Alabama. He writes, "First, I have truly enjoyed hearing the program on the internet. One of my friends told me about it, and I find it filled with solid information. So here's my question. It all sounds real good, but I have tried other things and could not or would not keep my budget. It seems something always comes up, and in a few weeks, I'm back to my old habits of spending without any kind of plan. Is there any help for somebody like me? I have failed so many times that I hate to fail again. So, what can your program offer someone like me, or am I hopeless? Like everyone else, I want to do better, yet it seems I am my own worst enemy." Well, Ken, thanks for all the kind words, and yes, there is hope for you and all of the rest of people out there. And I'm going to use Ken's question to lead into one of our topics today, which is budgeting, and I'm going to answer his question in the process. You see, budgeting is a common problem for most Americans, and whether we realize it or not, we all run on a budget. Most of us are so busy trying to make ends meet, trying to spend time with the family, that it seems there's not enough time in a 24-hour day. And I know personally that it's hard to balance life. It's hard to do all the things that I feel that I should do to be a good husband and father and grandfather, not to mention all my business responsibilities. Think about this. How often does your family have reunions? How often do you see some of your relatives? You would think that with cell phones, email, Facebook, airplanes, and with all these tools that we would be in constant contact with our family and friends. But as you well know, this is not the case. Now, I sure don't understand it. If you do, send me an email or give me a call. Now, I will say that I make sure that I talk to my children at least one time every day, and I try my best to talk to my parents every day. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what does all this have to do with budgeting? The answer is that we already have our plates so full and having to take time to micromanage what little bit of money we have coming in and what is left over, if there is any, is a daunting problem, and it's not put very high on our priority list. So, we basically just fly by the seat of our pants and make things work the best that we can. And then coupled with our lack of knowledge about finances and budgeting, we just ignore it. Have you ever noticed that you run out of money at the wrong time? And have you ever done something and then thought to yourself, I wonder if I just messed up buying this? Or if I'll have enough money left over at the end of the month to buy the food and the other essentials that I'll need? You see, the not knowing part is what's not fun. And most of our population runs their financial lives like this. Once again, we all figure out how to make a dollar. But that missing instruction booklet, that's the problem. Remember, we were taught how to dissect frogs in high school instead of learning about money and what to do with it. And I know if you're like me, I haven't dissected a frog since high school. But I have sure made a mess out of my finances over the years, and if I had known something about what to do, I would like to think that I would have been smart enough not to make some of the mistakes that I have made. Now, this is where the Financial Framework Radio Show will prove to be a good thing for all that will listen. This show's focus is on teaching people how to get out of debt, how to retire with no debt, and some of the issues that couples will go through to keep money from destroying their marriage and their family life. Keep in mind that Teresa and I, we were both 19 years old with three kids and a mortgage. We know all too well how to survive when money begins to erode away to marriage. If we had known how to budget what little we had back then, that would have been such a blessing to us. But we were like the majority, we figured out a way to survive and to do the best that we could with what we had. And then several years ago, God did put some ideas in my head that has made budgeting much simpler and easier for many Americans. And we call it the Equity Creator Budgeting System, or EC Budgeting System. The way most of us do our finances is when we get paid, we deposit our money into a checking account. We then write out checks to pay bills. We pay some bills online. Some are drafted out. We use the ATM machine. We tithe. We buy gasoline, groceries. We eat out, pay our insurance, utilities, have some fun. And maybe if we're lucky, we even put a little in savings. And then begin the same process over the next time we get paid. When a deposit first hits, the checking account looks and feels pretty good, especially before any of the money is spent. In fact, so good that it sometimes gives us the feeling that we have extra money to spend, not thinking about the house note or car payment that we do in a couple of weeks. And if we do think about it, we reason with ourselves, and in many cases, we decide that, yeah, I can spend a little bit more, and I can make up for it on the next paycheck. And as you well know, by the time the next check has been deposited, other things have taken your focus off the task at hand, or something else has sprung up and cost you money that you didn't expect to spend money on. Then, when the debts are due, you scramble around trying to figure out what to do to make up for the shortfall. And the sad thing is that many of us will use credit cards to take up the slack. And as you know, this is not a smart thing to do at all. So this is how the EC budgeting system works to correct this problem. Instead of operating on one checking account, what if you were to go to a credit union and open up another checking account? Now, I prefer a credit union to a bank, but in either case, make sure the new account is free. Now, we will give the two checking accounts a name. The new checking account is going to be called Budget A. The old account is going to be called Budget B. The Budget A account will be for your fixed debts. Remember, fixed debts are debts that you're contractually obligated to pay, such as your mortgage, auto loans, credit cards, or any other debts that has an end date, meaning that it can be paid off. Now, your original account, Budget B, this will be used for your lifestyle expenses, which includes things like tithing and giving, escrow, groceries, gasoline, insurance, taxes, entertainment, etc. Now, these are expenses that are ongoing and will never end. You see, by splitting up the paycheck and putting it into two different accounts, first of all, this takes away the false sense of security that you have when the entire check is deposited into one single account. You don't have that larger amount in the account that can be spent the wrong way. The smaller amount will make you pay closer attention to how you spend your money, and by following this process, your Budget A account will always have enough money in it to pay your bills on time. The only access that you will have to your Budget A account is checks. You should not have an ATM card or a debit card, and the checks should stay at home. This will eliminate any chance that you could talk yourself into using some of the bill money for anything else. Be strict about this. Now that you understand the importance of having two separate accounts, the next thing you will need to do is determine how much from each check that will need to be deposited into your Budget A account to cover your fixed debts. And whatever is left over from each check will go into your Budget B checking account. Now, to go back to Ken's question that he emailed in, the old budgeting systems where all the money is piled into one account is the problem. Ken, you're no different than really anybody else in the country. I honestly think that you will adopt the EC budgeting system idea of using two separate accounts, that you will see that this makes more sense and will make it easier for you to stick with it and finally succeed at budgeting your money. The budgeting system is simple but so effective and will not be nearly as painful as trying to manage all of your money in one single account. Time on the show today will not allow me to give you all the details about the EC budgeting system, but if you can find a church in your area that's holding the seminar, you can learn exactly how it works, or you can go to the Financial Framework Seminar and learn more about it. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is financialframeworkseminar.com. And just thinking out loud, if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can just get us in touch with someone at your church. We can then contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan and even offers prepackaged discipline if you have trouble with your quest to become debt-free. We are serious about saving the country from the ravages of debt, and I think you will see this once you attend the seminar. Now let's change gears for a few minutes. During the Financial Framework show last week, we had a computer problem at the radio station and the mortgage info was cut short. I thought that I would just start over where I left off, but then I realized that the new listeners would not know what we're talking about. So I'm going to cover this again. And if you're anything like me, I need to hear things several times before they stick anyway. I will also say, though, that I'm covering some numbers, and if you need to re-listen to the broadcast, we have them archived on the Financial Framework Show website. Now, as you know, it is the American dream to own your own home, and when I say own it, I mean own it free and clear. And a long time ago, people would save money to either pay a large down payment, or they would save enough until they could pay cash for the house. And then mortgages came into the picture. And then over the years, mortgage rules began to ease up, and it would allow a smaller down payment, which gave more and more people the opportunity to buy a house, which was good on one hand, but the mortgage instrument that was created to allow this was not built in a homeowner's favor. Now, as I have taught this around the country over the years, I have really had to be careful not to make people think mortgages are so bad that they would be better off not buying a house in the first place, which is absolutely not true. A family should own their own home, and they should pay it off as soon as they can. Now, what I want to do today is I want to show you how mortgages work and what they will cost you if you play the mortgage company's games, and then what you need to do to tip the process back into your favor. The example that we will use will be a $100,000, 6%, 30-year fixed mortgage. The payment would be $599.55 per month, which in this example, I'm going to drop off the cents and only use the dollar amount. So first, let's talk about how it works if you do it their way. You see, at the end of the first year of the $599 monthly payment, only $105 is going to the principal and $494 is going to interest. At the end of year 10, you have made $71,880 in payments, but the loan balance is still $83,685. And also, of the $599 monthly payment, $180 is now going to the principal and $419 is still going to interest. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world does this equate to 6% on this loan? And finally, in year 18, 216 months later, and after $129,502 in payments, and remember, you only borrowed in this example $100,000, you're finally paying more to principal and interest. And at the end of year 25, you have made $179,000 in payments, and the loan balance is still $31,012. Now, this is funny math in my opinion, and you see, mortgages are front-end loaded, and we are the unsuspecting consumer, and we will take out a mortgage and either refinance every few years or sell the house and take out a new mortgage. And this process keeps us in the early years of the mortgage, and we pay tens of thousands of dollars in interest. And speaking of interest, you know how I feel about credit cards. I despise every last one of them, but if we don't pay these mortgages off early, and if we continue to refinance over and over, the effective interest rate that we wind up paying is mind-blowing. In fact, let me give you a few examples. Using the same mortgage that we have been talking about, a $100,000, 6%, 30-year fixed mortgage. If we refinance or sell the home in the 15th year, because of us overpaying the interest up front, we would pay an effective rate of 24.16% on this loan during the 15-year period. That is in the credit card range, isn't it? But if we kept the mortgage for only 7 years, the effective rate on our money would now be 68.80%. And if we just bought the house 3 years ago, and if we refinanced it today, then the process would start over again, and the effective rate would be a staggering 182.61% on our money over this 3-year period. Now, to answer the question that I asked you last week before we went off the air, in the example that we have been using, once again, $100,000, 30-year fixed mortgage at 6%, when would you actually pay 6%? Now, you to get ready for this because you're not going to like it. How about the 360th month? The very last month, you would pay 6%, and this is how they legally call this a 6% loan. You see, when we find the house that we want to call home, you think about this, we would sign just about anything to make that dream a reality. And when we get to the closing table, a team of wild horses couldn't stop us from signing those papers. But now that you know how the loan is front-end loaded and not in your favor, I hope that you understand that the only good mortgage is a paid-off mortgage. And when I say paid off, I don't mean playing their game, taking 30 years to get it paid off. It is imperative that you accelerate the mortgage, and this will eliminate a lot of the upfront interest you would pay due to the loan being a front-end loaded product in the first place in their favor. Before we talk more about mortgages and how to pay them off early, let's look at another reason that proves that it is important to pay the mortgage off early. We will call this illusionary profit. In this example, a couple bought a house 5 years ago for $150,000. They took out a 30-year fixed mortgage at 6%. Then they put their house up for sale and sold it quickly for $190,000. The husband says to the wife, See, honey, we did well. We picked out a good house in the right area, paid the right amount for it, and we made a $40,000 profit. They are both happy, and so is the lender. Why? Because the game worked successfully on another consumer. In fact, so successfully that the couple is now about to buy a new house using a 30-year fixed mortgage and will start the game all over again. Now, while buying a new home is the right thing for them to do, they need to go into the situation with their eyes wide open and not let the mortgage company take advantage of their situation. And see, there's more to this story, and this is where it gets interesting. The couple played the game, knowingly or not, and they lost. They think their biggest investment was a good one, a profitable one. But the problem is they actually lost money, not made it. Now, let's see how much interest they paid on their 30-year mortgage in that 5 years. They paid 60 payments of $899.33 per month. Now, I'm going to drop the cents off of this example just like I did in the other one. This comes to just under $53,959 in payments. And they only paid off $10,418 of the principal. So they paid $43,541 in interest, and yet their house only increased in value by $40,000. This means that they did not make a profit, but really and truly was $3,541 negative. Then, when you take away a real estate commission of about 6%, which in this example comes to $11,400, now they are $14,941 backwards on the deal. You see, what was supposed to be their biggest, best, and most important investment actually cost them money. And perhaps the worst part of it all is that the couple is under the impression that they actually made money. Now let's do a recap. A $100,000 30-year fixed mortgage at 6% with a monthly payment of $599. At the end of year 10, you have made $71,880 in payments, but the loan balance is still $83,685. Now, of the $599 monthly payment, only $180 is going to the principal, and $419 is still going to interest. And then finally, in year 18, 216 months later, and after $129,502 in payments, and once again, you only borrowed $100,000, you are finally paying more to the principal than interest. At the end of year 25, you have made $179,000 in payments, and the loan balance is still $31,012. Now, on top of this, if you either refinanced or sold the home in the 15th year, you would have paid an effective interest rate of 24.16%. If you sold or refinanced in year 7, you paid an effective interest rate of 68.8%. And if you made a change in year 3, either sold or refinanced, the effective rate that you would have paid is an amazing 182.61%. And if you don't accelerate your mortgage, the chance for you to make a profit if you sell a house is slim, just like the example that we covered today. And now for the rest of the story, because today I have given you some of the dirty details about mortgages, and some of you are out there probably scratching your heads thinking, what am I supposed to do now? I know that the only way for me to own a home is to take out a mortgage, but after listening to Steve today, it seems like it's a no-win situation for me. Well, this is not the message that I'm trying to convey. If you already have a mortgage, or if you intend to buy a home, the most important thing for you to do is to accelerate it and pay it off early. This will negate the majority of the interest, and it will put the ball back into your court. Then when you decide to sell the property, the interest that you paid will not have such a negative impact on the overall deal, making it much easier for you to show a profit on the transaction. Now, you might ask yourself a question, how am I supposed to accelerate my mortgage when I'm in debt? Well, there are different ways to pay down the principal of your mortgage, but to really make it work the right way, it is important to pay your other debts off first. You need to have a plan that lays this out in detail for you. Now, I didn't plan on doing a commercial for the Financial Framework Seminar right here, but included in the seminar is the Personalized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint. Now, In this blueprint, there's a customized debt paydown schedule that tells you the most effective way to get out of debt. The system takes the same amount of money that you're currently spending each month, shows you how to reposition it, and one by one, the debts are eliminated. All you have to do is continue to spend your same monthly payment until you're debt-free, meaning that when a debt pays off, that monthly payment doesn't just go back into your monthly budget or spending money. That paid-off money is added to the next worst debt in line, and by doing this one by one, you will see your debts be eliminated. Usually, it only takes about 3 to 4 years before all the monthly payment is going to attack the mortgage. If you don't have access currently to a church that is running the Financial Framework Seminar, then you can go to the Financial Framework website and look at the information there. Now, if you decide to try this completely on your own, it is important to only attack one debt at a time. When most people are trying to get out of debt, they will take the additional money that they have extra and split it up between several debts, sending each creditor more than is due in an attempt to pay them off early. The most efficient way is to take the entire amount that you have allocated to accelerate debt and apply the lump sum to one debt at a time. Then, when that one debt is eliminated, you would take the entire payment, the original amount that was due plus the additional amount, and add this combined amount to the next worst debt in line. Now, if you're paying online, try to put a note on the payment telling them to apply the additional payment to the original balance or principal. Print off a copy each month so that you can prove how you instructed them to apply the money. If you're sending a check, make sure the memo line that you write, apply any overages to principal. Once again, apply any overages to principal. This is especially important if you decide to attack the mortgage first. Now, which is not the best idea, but you have to be specific. And you have to let them know your intentions. Now, I'll tell you another thing about accelerating your mortgage. Make sure you ask your mortgage company to do this every month or two, and don't forget this. Ask them for a copy of your mortgage amortization schedule. Because, see, you will need to verify that they are applying your payment the proper way. The mortgage industry has been known to make as much as a $10 billion mistake. I didn't say million. I said a $10 billion mistake. Of course, in their favor in one single year. Now, it is imperative that you keep your eye on the process and make sure that they do what they're instructed to do. And remember, I am not a novice at this. I've been helping people get out of debt now for 15 years and helping them retire for 25 years. I know all too well that we begin our adult life with the cards stacked against us. And as you have heard me say, we all figure out how to make money, but it don't come with an instruction booklet. Now, some of us figure out what to do better than others, but the majority of our country is in the same situation. The sad thing is most working families will earn a fortune in their lifetimes and will then wind up with basically nothing to show for it. And if they're not real careful, they will even drag debt into retirement with them, which means they can never retire. Have you ever taken your individual or family income and then multiplied it out for maybe 30 or 40 years? For an example, let's assume that you earn an average of about $50,000 per year, and let's assume that you're going to do this during your working lifetime. In 30 years, you will earn $1.5 million. And if you look at the number in 40 years, this comes to $2 million. In fact, if you just average $25,000 a year for 40 years, this means that you will earn $1 million in your working lifetime. But the problem is, this money simply comes into our checking accounts and goes right back out. We buy things that we could most definitely do without, and we don't understand enough about the games that are being played against us. And before we know it, we are over our heads in debt. We never seem to be able to put enough away for retirement or even the emergencies that life throws at us when we least expect them. The average family spends more time planning one vacation than they do planning their entire financial lives. You see, I want to help each and every one of our listeners. I want you to work on getting out of debt. I want you to work on budgeting your money, and I want you to save for short and long-term needs. And I honestly feel that together, you and I, and a little bit of God's favor working on this, you will be in a position to accomplish your financial goals and make your dreams come true. Isn't it amazing that we are lucky enough to live in the most powerful and special country in the world? I mean, we are free to become anything that we're willing to work for, where there's no boundaries except for our own attitude. Remember, if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you're absolutely right. Well, the freedom and opportunities that we enjoy each and every day, they're not free. People have sacrificed for you and I. They have laid their lives on the line for people they'll never meet. They don't do this for recognition, because they usually get none. They don't do it for money. Most soldiers' families live near the poverty level. The fact of the matter is, they love our country and all of its wonderful people. So I want to ask that everyone listening today and tomorrow and from now on, take time to pray for our soldiers and their families. These incredible people sacrifice for you and I, and their families also sacrifice and continually worry and pray for their loved ones. Their children and spouses, they miss them dearly. They often cry themselves to sleep at night. And I just wish that human beings could get along with one another, but from the beginning of time, we have always had to fight about something. You see, these brave soldiers, they are modern-day heroes, and without their bravery and sacrifices, where would our wonderful country be today? If you see a soldier somewhere, make sure that you take time to shake their hand and tell them just how much you appreciate them. When I am in airports around the country, I constantly scan the terminal in hopes that I'll spot one of our country's finest. I really like doing this when their families are around, and I make sure that their children know that their parent is a real true hero and that we all love and appreciate them very much. Now, I have done this dozens and dozens of times, and when I walk away from that little homecoming, I always have tears running down my face. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we owe our freedom to our brave military and their families. Please pray for them every day. Let me give you something to ponder on before we end the show today. I want you to really think about what I'm asking. I mean, really think about it. But if you're driving, you might need to pull over or do this once you get to your destination. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to really dream about what your life would be like if you woke up in the morning and you didn't owe anyone a single penny. What would you feel like? What would your life be like? Just think about it. Close your eyes. Just think about it just for a minute. What could you do for your family and your friends and your church? You see, because we're always trying to make ends meet and survive, we cannot be the person that God put us on this earth to be. We are in bondage to debt. Most people make enough money, as we've talked about, to do some real special things in their lives. But the lack of knowledge and discipline puts them in a position that they will have to work until they die, never being able to enjoy life and make a difference. You see, I want to help you take your life back. I want to help you make your dreams come true. And together, I know good and well, we can make a difference. Well, our time is about up today, but before we sign off, I want to encourage you to go to the Financial Framework Show website and look around. There's a lot of information available on the site, not only for you, but also for your church. You can share it with your church about the possibility of them running the Financial Framework Seminar. A church needs a system, a plan, to free its people from debt. Debt is smothering our churches and our country. Encourage them to get in touch with us. If you missed anything on the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you will see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen whenever you have time. It's just amazing how time flies. Next week's show will be the last one of the year, and the information will go right in line with the top three New Year's resolutions that are made each year, and that is to stop smoking, lose weight, and get out of debt. Even though I can't help you with the first two, they are up to you. I can most definitely help you with getting out of debt and retiring with dignity. On this show, we will look at how to build a strong and secure financial house. So do your best to listen in next Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. The Financial Framework Show will begin right after the news and weather. We'll lay the groundwork for a great 2010 season. And from our family to yours, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we hope that your new year is all that you dream of it being. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Join Steve Barfield again here soon on WGAA 1340 AM, The Big AA.